Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everyone here today. Thank you for joining us. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The Board Council may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The Board may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to any item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to the Board County Commissioner Zoning, BCC, or the Clark County Planning Commission, the PC, for final action. Please turn off all cell phones, and other electronic devices. Please take all private conversations outside the room. With a 48-hour advance request, a sign language interpreter or other reasonable effort to assist and accommodate persons with physical disabilities may be made available by calling 702-455-3530 TDD at 702-385-7486. Supporting material provided by to the board members are a meeting may be requested from Tammy Harris at 702-298-0828. Supporting material is also available at the Clark County Department of Administration Services. Supporting material is and will be available on the county's website, clarkcountynv.gov/LaughlinTAB. We will now do roll call. Herm Walker.
Here.
Fred Doten. Kathy Oates is excused, and Pam Walker is excused. We do have a quorum. Our secretary is Tammy Harris at 702-298-0828, or tammy.harris@clarkcountynv.gov. County liaison is Mark Moskowitz, 702-298-0828 or 702-455-6173 or mark.moskowitz, M-O-S-K-O-W-I-T-Z at clarkcounty.gov. If I could please have everyone please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Congratulations to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Number two, public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on the agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearings items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within this jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public. This is the period at the end of the agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium, clearly state your name, address, and spell your last name. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of your presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or a majority vote. I will now move. I'd like to combine three and four together. for the approval of the previous minutes and today's agenda.
So moved.
Thank you. Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Let's move on to informational items. Receive a report and updates from the South County Liaison, Mark Moskowitz, regarding updates on the Pink Box Donuts grand opening, Mojave Daily News ribbon cutting, and any other updates for Clark County.
Perfect. Thank you, Chair. We have a little slideshow we'll show. July was a busy month for Laughlin and Clark County. I was able to, with Commissioner Naft, on July 29th, we welcomed Pink Box Donuts to the Edgewater Casino. We were able to present the Pink Box Corporation proclamation making a Pink Box Donut Laughlin Day. So that was a great opportunity to see a new business come into Laughlin. If we go to the next slide. I had the opportunity to attend on July 25th the Mojave Daily News ribbon cutting. I was able to speak at the event as well. They opened up a new facility. I was able to get a great tour of it. Thank them for all that they do for our community, being able to provide information to our residents of what's going on in the community. So that was a great one. And then the last picture, I want to thank Lieutenant Grant Rogers for inviting me to Snow Cone with a Cop. We had a great turnout, great dialogue. So as always, that's a good event. So, and that ends my presentation. The last thing is, in the back, we have Commissioner Naft's newsletter for August. So be sure to pick that up. It's got a lot of good information, contact information. As always, contact our office if you have any questions or if you'd like to be included on the digital version of it. So with that, that's my updates. Thanks.
Thank you. Number two, receive a report from Lieutenant Rogers with the Metro Police.
All right, Lieutenant Rogers from Metro here. Looks like we got a new podium. Exciting stuff. Yeah, so our report for stats, just for everyone's inquiry, for July this year, we handled 309 calls for service. That's down from 316 from last year. So only 2% difference. So pretty much we're on pace and status quo month to month right now. We wrote 311 total traffic citations, made 11 arrests for battery domestic violence, and 27 total arrests for the month of July that were booked here at our Tucker holding facility. As far as calls for service, we just had one at the school. We're also excited to announce the new school police officer started yesterday. So he is here full time, walking the halls of the school. So that's good for all the citizens and good for us for Metro to have that extra resource here. So just thank everybody that was in charge to help us get that on. Like Mark said, we had our Coffee with a Cop, or our Snow Cone event, that was pretty successful at the church. And then on Friday of last week, we did a back to school event at both schools where we passed out backpacks and gave out some vouchers for some free haircuts to a few of the kids. So that went really well. That's kind of about it. We do have our continuing Coffee with a Cop event roadshow. And we'll get the next date out. We'll be on our social media for our next event, and then we're slowly preparing for our national night out. So if anybody wants to set out a table or any vendors that want to be there to support, then just make sure they get with me ahead of time so we have space available for them. That's about it. Any questions?
No? Herm, any questions?
Herm? No, Herm's good.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Next, we'll receive a report from Clark County Fire Department.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Captain Scott Taggart with Clark County Fire. Here to present the statistics for last month. The fire responses, EMS responses are slightly down from last year, but up from last month. So the percentages that you see on that form, they're kind of confusing because they reflect all the different units and all the different types of calls. But basically, last month we ran 308 calls between fire and EMS, compared to last month where we ran 262 calls. For the month of July, 308 is slightly down from 333 for last year, but overall that number is carries out to be just 7% down from last year when you look at the total year. That's all I have. Any questions?
No questions.
With the increase from last month to this month, is that due to more people coming in on the river, vacationing?
Yeah, a lot of it's that. A lot of it's just busier in the summertime. And I think it's, when you look at the stats for last year, it's about the same. You'll see it increase during the summertime, for sure. And we ran quite a few calls on the river. And these numbers, the tracking doesn't reflect a lot of that, but there has been quite a bit more calls on the river.
Any questions? Thank you.
Okay, you bet.
Next, we'll receive a report from Andrew Bennett, Director of the Office of the Traffic Safety.
Good afternoon, Chair, members of the Commission. Good morning or good afternoon. Andrew Bennett, and I do, as you mentioned, I have the privilege of representing the Clark County Office of Traffic Safety. I'm the newest department within the county, the 39th department at Clark County. I started about 18 months ago. I just wanted to give an update on traffic safety and as well as what we're doing to prevent some of the crashes that we're seeing. Talk about the office a little bit. So previous to my time joining the Clark County Office of Traffic Safety, I worked for the State Highway Safety Office. Every office or every state is required to have a traffic safety office. We're one of the few municipalities, if the only municipality right now across the country that's approaching traffic safety through an independent office rather than just specifically under like a Public Works or a DOT. My office is the intersection between the built environment and how we're building our infrastructure, but then also how people are using it. We can build all the roads, we can build all the crosswalks, but if we don't have the people using the infrastructure, that's how crashes happen. And so currently we're down about 11% in Clark County when it comes to fatal crashes. That is the ultimate focus of this office, is to eliminate and reduce fatal crashes here in Clark County. Since the pandemic years, we've had a rather significant increase in fatalities, with us spiking in 2022. 2022, 2021, and 2020 were our worst years in the last 20 years when it comes to traffic fatalities. And so we hope that this year we are again seeing that decrease in Clark County and throughout the state of Nevada, but we're currently down again that 10, 11%. A typical day looks like, you know, spending quite a bit of time with our Public Works Department as well as with our law enforcement partners. Traffic safety historically is approached with education, enforcement, engineering, and EMS. EMS is important, as you know, a community down here not having, you know, a ready access to a Trauma One Center and only having one in the state. That is an important role in traffic safety and making sure that if a serious crash does happen, making sure that we do have access to that health care. But there are significant improvements that we're looking at making on the traffic safety front down here in Laughlin. I had the morning with Mark driving around looking at a few of the intersections that he said have been brought up down here and taking a look at, you know, what improvements we can make, as well as trying to prevent any traffic safety situations moving forward. I know we worked with the school district to build the path in between the schools. Anytime we have something come up through zoning, making sure that there's not going to be an adverse traffic effect, specifically when it comes to safety, is the ultimate goal of this office, and reduce those fatalities as much as we can. I also respond personally to every fatal crash that happens in unincorporated Clark County. That includes down here, making sure that when a fatal crash does happen, we have the appropriate resources, not only during that crash investigation, but post that crash investigation, working with our state partners, with the Highway Patrol, because their jurisdiction is not too far out from Laughlin as well, with some of the major roads that we have going through here. So that is the ultimate goal of what we hope to achieve. I hope to be back more frequently than every 18 months, but it is, you know, taking that opportunity to be down here today and Searchlight tomorrow answer any questions that you guys might have. We are encouraging people to go through the commissioner's office, but as well as the email for my office is trafficsafety@clarkcountynv.gov. If you have any questions, feel free to go there or directly through the commissioner's office, and we'd be happy to answer any questions then or now from you all.
The intersection of Needles Highway and Bruce Woodbury. There was talk about putting a roundabout there. Do you know where that stands?
So currently it is, it's still being talked about. The safest way to go through an intersection, period, is a roundabout. That being said, it is not final. That is a conversation between the Commissioner of Public Works and my office. But making sure that we have the correct information to the public is important on the education of the benefits of any type of intersection. That includes why we might put a crosswalk in or why we might not put a crosswalk in, making sure that the understanding that it might look right, you know, down on the road, but sometimes, you know, putting in the wrong piece of infrastructure could be fatal. And so making sure that everything meets the standards that we have. But the short answer is that's still being talked about.
Since you mentioned pedestrian crossings, this is probably the fourth or fifth time that I have urged various people in the upper echelons to get a crosswalk from the public library across to the Family Dollar Store. It's been talked to death, mm-hmm. but nothing ever happens.
Sure. So that was one of the intersections that Mark drove me past this morning. Mark has done a great job, you know, bringing that up several times over the last few months. My commitment is we are having that discussion this week with the folks that can actually put in the crosswalk. My concern is, having driven it now, is that is a blind corner. And if it were to be a crosswalk, it would need to be an improved crosswalk. It would not be safe to put down just paint. It would have to have at least a flashing beacon, if not a full signal there. And so my commitment to you is that, you know, we're gonna have that conversation of what a full improved intersection would look like there, because simply putting down paint would not be safe.
It'd be nice to have talk converted to action.
Absolutely. I think there's been decisions that we've made rather quickly in the last 18 months. Not necessarily down here with the flashing yellows, but that is the ultimate goal, because we don't want to wait until something happens. And so I have that meeting scheduled for Thursday to see if we can do more than just have a conversation about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Make a note. Number five, will we receive a report from Will Smith with Clark County Water Reclamation District? Oh, he's not here. His report's in the back, right? Okay, you can get his report in the back. Okay, receive a report from Jason Bailey with Big Bend Water District.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. Jason Bailey with the Big Bend Water District. I'm joined today also by my colleagues, Chris Mays, Operations Superintendent, and Bronson Mack, our Public Services Manager, is here today as well. I just wanted to first thank the members of the board and those residents who attended our information workshop last month, as well as Mark and Tammy and their staff in helping to coordinate that meeting. I do have a update on the storage matter that was discussed a little bit, but I wanted to go through this report. As you can tell, it's a little bit more updated, provides more information with some of the things that were requested at the meeting last month. So our water use July diversions were 310 acre feet. That's down from the same month last year of 331 acre feet. And our year-to-date total diversions are 1,677 acre feet. The total average daily flow is approximately 4 million gallons a day. And just as a reminder, the treatment plant design is to be a max treatment of 15 million gallons per day. As far as a water system update, staff recently upgraded the hardware for our SCADA system. That is kind of the computer, the big brain that runs the treatment plant. So those were part of the SCADA system upgrades, part of that 10-year capital program that was approved in 2017. There's also a leak was reported last weekend. Staff were able to attend to that and repair that leak. I think that was near the Spinnaker Bay complex. So that leak has been repaired. A request last month was to add some development inquiries to the report. So as you can see, the list of those developments that have at least reached out to our engineering and planning departments, Laughlin Bay Marina, Cottage Court Unit 4, and the solar plant. That last one is just a request for construction water. There hasn't been any commitment, or it's just preliminary, so there hasn't been any follow-up from the developer on that one. As far as a financial update, a couple things here. Our fiscal year runs July 1st through June 30th. So as of fiscal year today ended May 31st, 2023, the operating surplus was $270,000. So that's 11 of the 12 months of the fiscal year. But that, including capital expenditures and debt service payments, the resulting accumulated debt is approximately $3.2 million as of May 31st, 2023. So I hope next month to have those June numbers, which should be the fiscal year end numbers of where we stand. And then just to mention about the water storage and funding for that. So staff has applied to the state of Nevada from the Nevada Department of Conservation and Natural Resources for ARPA funding. That is the American Rescue Plan Act funding. That's part of the COVID relief funds. Staff applied for those in the amount of $12 million for the first of two storage tanks. It would be a 2 million gallon tank. That was a topic of discussion at last month's meeting. The applications were actually due yesterday. Those funds were announced and released kind of the beginning of last month. So it was a quick turnaround for funding. We've been told that we should know by the end of September on that funding. And so we plan to then come and after that and give an update, kind of our plan for funding for storage tanks. As that, if awarded, could greatly impact what that financial funding scenario looks like. The nice thing about that funding is that they're seeking shovel-ready projects. The money needs to be expended and spent by the end of 2026. And so the project of the storage tanks is shovel-ready, and we're waiting on that to see if we get awarded that $12 million. We're committed to continue to working with the community and the board on this matter, and that is my update and report for this month.
What? How much money was in the Big Bend coffers at the time you moved or merged with the Water Authority as it now exists?
In 2008?
Yeah.
Those financial numbers? I'll have to see if I can dig and find them in my book here. I don't have those on the top of my head, but I know we've sent those financials to a number of you, and I'd be happy to send those 2008 financials.
I would like to see those.
Well. Okay.
What's your payroll now at Big Bend?
That is another number that I'll have to find and send to you, Mr. Walker.
I'd like to have that as well.
Okay.
When you talk about 3.2 million, that strikes me as being funds that are currently present in the Big Bend Treasury.
So it is a debt. It's between the capital expenditures of that large capital program that was approved, the $9 million. And then also there's some other debt that will come off the books in July of 2024 and in January of 2025, probably a total of about $500,000 that will come off the books then.
Could your office compile, or the district office compile, a report of the financial structure of the district at the present time?
The Big Bend Water District currently, yes. The financials?
Yes.
And what exactly, where it stands to date?
I want answers to the questions that I have asked.
Okay.
And projected income. And I want to know where the income that Big Bend had at the time of the merger, what happened to that income? Where did it go?
I'll get you that information.
Thank you.
Any questions? I don't have any. Thank you.
Thank you.
Receive a report from Mike Jackson, Executive Director of Southern Nevada Transit Coalition.
Hi, Mike Jackson, Executive Director, Southern Nevada Transit Coalition. Sorry, I'm in my work uniform. I'm out in the shop today. I joke with the directors in Vegas and tell them I'm a working director. The directors in Vegas hate that. So I'll start with the Laughlin report. The ridership for fixed route is still staying stable, but it has dropped in June, and I would believe with the heat that we've been experiencing, a lot of people just really don't want to be outside. So we'll see how it carries through the summer. We're still pretty hot out there. The fare boxes, we're getting ready to do a restructure on our fare boxes and the way they count rides. It's very outdated, and I spent a lot of money, capital money last year, in getting the services that we needed for our fare boxes. So we're reformatting all the way that we count the rides and category the rides, and it'll be interesting to see how that affects the rides. It could drop it, and it could drop it only because it's more efficient and that our counting is not efficient currently. So just want to throw that out there. If we see a drop after our fare change on the fare boxes, it's only because our numbers are now more accurate. I'm hopeful that it goes up, of course, but we will see. The paratransit and the express have both gone up. I believe that has a lot to do with some outreach that we've been doing and getting the word out and making people understand the services that we provide. Not substantial, but decent. General update, we continue to experience workforce shortages. You know, we're currently operating our route A88 at a less amount that we normally do. That route normally operates 19 hours a day, and we're currently operating at 14 hours. And that's because we don't have the manpower to bring it back. Now, 777 route carries that, and that route still continues to operate 24 hours. But the goal is to get that back, get that route back to the 19 hours that it was intended for. But we cannot seem to hire enough. We hire, they leave. We hire, they leave. I've been working hard the last 3 years in improving wages, improving benefit packages, making Silver Rider a great place to work in, which it is, but the people have to pay their bills. And so applying for grants, working with budgets, I continue to give 8% increases, 5% increases, appreciation checks, everything I can. This year, I'm doing a manual adjustment to the wages to try to improve the starting wage, because our high seniority drivers are doing quite well. But the beginning wage is just embarrassing. So I've been adjusting and I've been adjusting it, and I'm bringing a package together, putting a package together to present to our board for approval, some more attractive wages, but I have to work within our budget. To me, it's gonna take me 2 to 3 years to finally get the wages where I need them to be. And that's with grants and increases in our grants every year, but I can't impact it all at once because it will get denied. So we're getting there. The people that do work for us are happy, and we'll just keep on rolling. Our 5311 grants, we applied for $3,466,942, and we are awarded 100%. We're still waiting for approval on our 2425 grant, and they're waiting until we close out the current grant to see how much money rolls over. Another statement on the increases. As I'm doing these figures and trying to see just how big of an impact, if I was to give a dollar an hour increase to every employee in SNTC, and this is just the hourly employees, the financial impact is $108,000 a year. Just to know that just that little dollar makes a big difference. On our capital funds, I have $396,000. I'm hoping to be able to purchase 2 more buses. These will be for the express and the paratransit. I got my quotes in from the bus manufacturer, and they're coming in at about $240,000, which is about $45,000 over budget. But I have a lot of options on there that I can cut and hopefully fit it in the budget and get them ordered. Some of the options that I put on there is paint jobs. It would be nice to have somebody paint it for us, but it looks like we'll end up painting it again ourselves. There's a lot of things that we'll do in-house and which we've done before to make it work. Community partnership, started planning on bringing back the SNTC toy drive. Many years back, we did a toy drive when we were down operating at the old jail. It was a very successful toy drive. Big turnouts, a lot of toys, a lot of community involvement. And we, many years ago, handed it over to the fire department because we didn't want to do it anymore. We miss it. We want to bring it back. So I'm working with a lot of the community and partnering it up to bring the SNTC toy drive back. And the first year, we'll be bringing it back this Christmas. And it's gonna be in honor of my daughter that recently passed away, Megan Bell Jackson. So we're looking forward to that. We're starting the meetings and getting it put together, and it should be a successful event. We still have the old Santa Claus suit that we had for the toy drives, and we'll be dusting that off. So as we get this planned out, I will inform everyone how it's going to work, but it should be good. 40-foot buses, you know, we have 5 brand new buses out there on the road. This is the first real hot summer that they've experienced. We have had our share of problems, but I'm extremely impressed at how well they performed. I've experienced plenty of new vehicles in my experience in public transit. Normally it takes me 2 years to make these buses reliable. These last batch of buses that we've got are doing quite well. We had some AC failures, got them taken care of. Everything's top notch on the AC. I just got one last hybrid issue on one of the newest vehicles, the part-time electrics. It's in Vegas right now. I know the problem is, but it's under warranty, so I can't touch it. So they're fixing it in Vegas. But they're doing good. I'm really impressed. Then the Meals on Wheels. Silver Rider has openings for new Meals on Wheels clients. Please refer those 60-plus homebound individuals or their caregivers to get in touch with us. We have funding to be able to assist more. Any questions?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mike, I have just one question. Mm-hmm. What kind of dollar savings do you have now with the electric buses?
You know what I'll do? Next meeting, I'll bring some figures. But for example, normally a bus gets 3 to 4 miles per gallon. We're getting 7 to 8. With the amount of miles that we travel, that's huge. I'm to the point now when I order my fuel that I can skip an order because we're not using the fuel like we used to. So it's going to be substantial, and I'll bring some figures next report of what I'm looking at in savings per year, because it's working. The 40-foot buses get comparable fuel mileage to the small paratransit buses. That's how well they're doing. So it's working, definitely. Not to mention that a regular bus, brake jobs are every 15 to 20,000 miles. These hybrid electrics, 200,000 miles between brake jobs, because the hybrid system has a regenerated brake system on it. So when you let off the throttle, it helps brake the bus, but it's charging the batteries. So, and just so you know, we don't plug these things in. It charges itself. So.
Second question.
Yes.
It occurs to me that the school district and your operation run over one another a considerable number of times. Is there any reason why you couldn't haul school kids?
We can. And, you know, we have our fares, we have our kids under what age for free?
Under 5.
Under 5, so that didn't help school much. I think that's something that I'll go after. There was some early talks, especially during COVID, with all the shortage of drivers, of something that we can partner up with. And I know that there's some other rural areas that are doing something like that. And like you said, there's a duplication of service. But bus stops are everywhere for school kids. And ours, you know, we have 40-foot buses that aren't made to handle some of the neighborhood roads that some of these school buses end up going. So. Is it possible? Probably so, but we'll see. But it's something to work on.
Good. It doesn't really make much sense that this kind of money is being spent.
Yes.
It's a waste of money.
Yes. It's just mixing funds. You know, we operate off of federal funds. They operate off of state funds, and how that could work. You know. There's a way that we can get them on our buses with our current route, I would give them free rides, you know? So we'll work on that. Got Thank some you. Other things I got to get done first.
Question?
No.
Thank you. Receive report from Parks and Recs. Nobody is here. There is a report in the back of the room, just real briefly. They had 17 programs with 972 participants. Spirit Mountain Activity Center, August Field Trips, Super Summer Theater, Trader Joe's Seafood, City Winco, Monster Mini Golf, and a fashion show at the mall. Coffee with a Cop at Spirit Mountain Activity Center, September 13th at 11 a.m. Any other information, please contact the Parks and Recs office. Receive a report from Jackie Wallen on Laughlin Chamber and Laughlin Tourism.
Good afternoon, Board. The first thing we want to get to is probably we've had several ribbon cuttings, as you know, but they're not coming up, so I didn't list them. The mixers coming up, we have requested that the resorts start getting back in mixer mode because they're always the best mixers because they all hold one once a year, and I think that that's going to be possible. Our next mixer coming up in another month, or close to October, will be on the new grand celebration. So if you wanted a tour of the grand celebration, this is the time to do it. The networking and education breakfasts are on August 25th and September 29th. That would be the Farm Bureau with Melody and Grand Celebration talk about their progress and what they did to succeed as a whole business. That one's in September. The Laughlin Chamber of Commerce events next is August 25th this month, and it's the Tri-State Mega Mixer, where we invite people with from at least 300 miles around. That's chambers, tourism, and small business, any business effectively. Actually, tourism and recreation businesses also participate. They get free booths, but everybody that walks in must pay $20 to cover the food for Aquarius, because 100% of the $20 for each person that enters goes to kick off the Feed a Family program that feeds over 2,000 families of four meals during the holiday season. So that's the kickoff of it, and that's where 100% of that money goes. There will be a bunch of raffles. All the businesses and organizations that come and participate with their free booth space also bring a raffle so that other people can get to see their product or services in their hands. You can reserve seats by going at the LaughlinChamber.com website. Community Achievement Awards are scheduled for November 4th, and your nominations have to be in by the 21st. So if you haven't made nominations of somebody, individual, business, or organization that you think has done a fine job in the past year, please get those in. They're very simple, LaughlinChamber.com/CAA-nominations. They're really easy to figure out, and we do the rest of the work after you get done nominating. We'll get the bio and prepare the binder for each one of the judges, and those judges start their mission on August 30th. Membership is at 304. 31% of those are Laughlin. We only had one new member in this quarter, and we have zero new members from Laughlin. The volunteers and partnership are always take applications for volunteers. Once they submit an application, I do a background check, and then they're put into the rotation for volunteering. The things that they're going to be doing soon is the Sam Hunt concert, REO Sticks, Rod Stewart, the Juan Bass U.S. Open, and the Laughlin Bullhead Air Show coming up next April 6th. Additional services, I just want to remind everybody that we're still doing free notary services for members, and it's a $15 fee if you're not a member. We've increased in fishing license sales, so that's kind of nice because we see a lot more anglers out there, and because our fishing licenses as a registered agent of Nevada Division of Wildlife, if you're on the Nevada side as long as you can, or on the Arizona side, as long as you partner in the same body of water as Nevada, you can fish just about anywhere. If no one has any questions, I'll move on to LTC.
Any questions?
The Juan Fishing Tournament is the LTC's next event for an event other than the concerts, and that is on October 16th through the 18th. This is a Monday through Wednesday. It makes it very nice for our resorts to be able to afford providing a value on the rooms and protect the boats that are parked out in their parking lot with spider boxes so that they can charge their trolling motors. Makes for a great weekend just before that on Sunday, where they have an angler's expo. It's normally very, very fun and very full of really fun things. If you're an angler, you kind of get in there and get excited about some of the stuff you find, and that is on Sunday. Next going on would be the Laughlin Air Show. It has been scheduled for April 6, 2024, but on the day of April 5th, we are inviting students from around the tri-state, California, Arizona, and Nevada to come to a STEM festival. We'll get them bused there. It's going to be quite fun. We'll have representatives from NASA, SpaceX, air traffic control, commercial and private pilots, armed forces, and aviation science and history. Our students in the local areas do not have enough exposure to trades. This is one trade that they're not exposed to very much at all, and some of them are really interested in aviation and space, so this will give them a leg up and give them some contacts and experience on what that might look like when they get older. We're going to invite 7th, 8th, and 9th graders and ask the upperclassmen, the 10th, 11th, and 12th graders to help us be guides for those younger underclassmen to get them through all of the points of interaction at this event. And they will be served lunch and have a mini air show of their own. If anyone's interested in volunteering on one of the air show planning committees, if you have some background in aviation or space, it would be really nice to have you on one of the committees to help us make decisions and plan ahead. The LTC-sponsored townwide concerts would be Sam Hunt, REO Styx, and Rod Stewart. Our membership stays the same at 8 properties at this time. I'll stand for any questions if you have any about LTC.
I don't have any questions.
Nope, thank you.
Thank you. Receive a report from Tanya Brown in the library. She's not here. Receive a report from the Laughlin Schools. Ancestors, not here. Announcement of upcoming neighborhood meetings and county or community meetings and events. Not at this time. Okay, we move on to planning and zoning, which we have none today. Under general business, we are going to table the 2024 budget request at this time. Do I need a motion to do that? Yep. Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second? Thank you. All in favor? Aye. Motion pass. Okay. Comments by the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdictions will be held. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. Clearly state your name, your address, and spell your last name. For the records, if any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or a majority vote of the board. Do we have any public comments?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. My name is Carrie Larson. I'm at 3687 Westcliff Avenue. Last name is L-A-R-S-O-N. I wanted to read to you a paragraph from the service rules for the Big Bend Water District. It states, notwithstanding any provision in these service rules, payment of fees or construction of water facilities at a developer or Big Bend Water District's expense, the Big Bend Water District may deny a request for water commitment or a request for water connection if the Big Bend Water District has inadequate supply of water or there are physical limitations in the system capacity to serve the proposed customer and simultaneously maintain the adequate level of service to other customers or if public health, welfare, or safety will be compromised. However, the Big Bend Water District will regularly apprise the community of any issues related to these potential conditions. Now, there may be an argument of whether or not the Big Bend Water District has a fiduciary duty to its customers or to the town or to the county commission. I would say that there is. But irrespective, Big Bend Water District and Las Vegas Valley Water District, by extension, has violated their own service rules by failing to disclose this issue for 15 years. I took a look at the steel panel prices from 2009 until now. Steel panel, which our storage containers are made out of, has risen 66% since 2009. With that in place, had we have known 15 years ago, we could have built nearly 8 million gallons of storage, remedying our 4 million gallon issue that we are deficient in town as a whole and preparing for development in the future. I've been a real estate broker for 20 years, and if I were to fail to disclose a $22 million obligation in the sale of a piece of land, I would lose my license and face hefty, hefty penalties. This is a breach of the trust of our community. However, I am pleased to hear that they have applied for the COVID funds through what Jason Bailey mentioned earlier. We must hold their feet to the fire. They have already violated our trust. And this issue is not simply just, oh, well, the developer in town can't build. All the landowners in town can't build. Unless there is a replacement of a 2 million gallon tank, we can't build. And we have to hold their feet to the fire to make sure that we take care of this. May I get an extension?
She wants an extension.
Just a minute. So Doa Ross came, and apparently there was a public workshop, which it really wasn't a workshop. I attended by phone. I'm counting on you guys to hold your feet to the fire to bring the water district together with the town board and the county commission and stakeholders to work out a plan. Because once we get that 2 million gallon tank in place, that'll suffice our immediate needs. But the further development of the community is going to need a whole lot more storage than that. And we have to figure out a way that we're not overextending properties and creating a taking of that land by preventing builders or owners to be able to develop their property. If that happens, everyone in town and the whole county will be on the hook for violating that. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any other general comments? Okay. Seeing that there are no general comments, does the board have any comments? Fred? Herm, do you have anything?
No.
Okay, our next meeting will be September 12th at 2023. I'd like to have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Do I have a second? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.